Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is another one of those interviews of a guy I would probably talk to three times this year, but this will be the only time because Mississippi State and Kentucky no longer on the schedule. But John Hale joins us. He's been on us with us many, many times from the Lexington Herald Leader. And John, Mark Stoops, 10 wins three seasons ago, follows it up with back-to-back 7-6 seasons, disappointing seasons, I would guess. I don't think that he's on the hot seat by any stretch of the imagination because of what he's done with that program, but what's the temperature in the room on Mark Stoops going into this season?
I think it's a huge offseason. I think it's arguably the most important offseason he's had at Kentucky since those early years when he was trying to build this thing from the basement of the SEC. It's going to tell us a lot the way the next 6 months, 12 months play out, what Kentucky's realistic ceiling is in the new look SEC with Texas and Oklahoma and no divisions. Because like you mentioned, it felt like they had reached this new high and then taken two steps back the last 2 years. I mean, he got the latest contract extension he got was in the middle of that 2022 season. And literally the next day after they signed that contract, they went out and lost to Vanderbilt, snapping Vanderbilt's really long SEC losing streak. And they're a game over 500 since he signed that contract extension. It's just not what the standard he had set or what fans have come to expect have been. And so now the question is, can you rebuild? Can you use the transfer portal? Can you take advantage of these new roster building mechanisms in college football to get Kentucky to a spot where you can contend for an expanded playoff? That should be the standard now. They were right on the verge of that in 2018 and 2021. Now can they do that again? And if not, if they're still hovering around this 7-5 kind of regular season record, we know the schedule is going to get harder because, like you mentioned, that Mississippi State game that Kentucky has won at home the last decade is not on the schedule. There are going to be years where you're not going to get to play Vanderbilt on every year if they're not one of your permanent opponents, whatever the schedule goes to. So Kentucky cannot rely on that weaker SEC East schedule to help them pad wins like they have at times over the last 7 or 8 years. This is a huge offseason for Mark Stoops, and I feel like the fan base definitely has kind of upped the pressure on that too.
Last year in the portal, Kentucky's kind of went with production over potential with Devin Leary. And excuse me, quite honestly, I thought he was disappointing. I expected him to have a pretty good season. I thought with Liam Cohen coming back that offense would hum a little bit, and it just didn't at times. It's the opposite this year with Brock Vandegrift. Huge potential, but we haven't seen any production out of him. What are your early thoughts on him and how he's going to fit into this Kentucky offense?
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there. I mean, at one point last summer, I was writing a story where I was polling SEC beat writers about whether Devin Leary might be the best quarterback in the league because there was so much turnover. Yeah. And clearly, he was in no way, shape, or form, even in that discussion.
I don't feel bad. I did the same for Will Rogers. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, he might be in a spot where he's not even going to get drafted in April. Yeah. I mean, and so it was definitely disappointing. It was disappointing because there were moments where you saw that potential where he'd make two or three highlight reel throws a game, and then two plays later, he would overthrow a wide open receiver by 10 yards. It just never worked out. It felt like he was a bad fit for the pro style office they were running in terms of just going from a spread at NC State to figuring out the terminology and the play calling and all those things. It just didn't work out. And so what they did this offseason was essentially go back to the Will Levis model. Let's go find a guy we think has NFL talent who hasn't proven it yet on the college level, who's blocked behind, an entrenched starter at his current program, and make the bet that we can develop that. Obviously, when they made that bet, Liam Cohen was still the offensive coordinator, and he had that track record of developing quarterbacks. He has since gone back to the NFL again. Yeah. And so the question is whether Bush Hamden, who they hired from Boise State, can be that same developer of quarterbacks. The early returns are positive through five spring practices as we talk now, but we're not going to know until we see A, Hamden calling plays in the SEC, and then Vandegrift actually going out there and performing, when the game's on the line, not in just a blowout situation.
Liam Cohen just loves moving. He loves packing it up and going to a new town. He never wants to stay anywhere. It's weird. Barrion Brown is one of the best playmakers in college football, an explosive, exciting athlete. But who complements him on this offense for Kentucky this year?
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, for all of the talk we just had about Devin Leary disappointing last year, in fairness to him, part of that was because those sophomore receivers did not make the jump from year one to year two, that fans coaches themselves hoped for. There were a bunch of drop passes. I don't think that they had learned the finer arts of playing receiver in terms of route running and, you know, beating man coverage, those kind of things yet. And so Berrion, when you get the ball in his hands in open space, can obviously make plays with anybody, especially as a kick returner. He can do things that just most people can't do. The question is, can he become a better receiver? I think, you know, or they also fired their wide receivers coach, Brian Dakiel Shorts from Houston, who's a longtime Dana Holgorsen assistant, played at West Virginia. It feels like that relationship is going better for him with those young receivers right now. He's younger. He played the position. He appears to be able to relate to them a little more. Maybe that's the key to making them take the step, but they need Brown to be that guy. They need Dane Key, the other receiver who's opposite him, same class, going to be a junior this year. They need him to take a step forward. He was probably their best option last year. And then they went out and added Jamori Macklin, the cousin of Jeremy Macklin, who started his career at Missouri and then ended up going to North Texas, where he was, I think, one of 24 receivers in the country who had 1,000 yards last year. He's going to come in and be their slot receiver. So those three guys are big. And then early indications are Bush Hamden really wants to take advantage of that tight end spot, who they have three or four options coming back as realistic pass catchers there. Ray Davis was a huge part of the passing game as a receiver last year. We don't know if they're, you know, whoever the next running back ends up being is going to be that same kind of weapon. And if not, those other positions really need to step up.
One thing I do like about this team is the offensive line. I mean, we talk about experience. There's well over 100 combined starts between those five guys. Would you say that's the strength of this Kentucky team?
You know, in some ways, for sure. The experience part of it is a big deal because, you know, they built this rebuild around being physical, around what they, you know, they have hyped as the big blue wall. That's what they call their offensive line. And then 2 years ago, it was one of the worst offensive lines in the country. They made some significant progress through last season, but we're still, you know, had some moments where it was a question mark. It was interesting because they initially signed their offensive line coach, Zach Yenzer, to a one-year extension. His contract was going to expire this summer. They signed him to a one-year extension in December. And then after Nick Saban retired, and Eric Wolford, the offensive line coach at Alabama, who was here in 2021, who's a Youngstown guy like Mark Stoops and Vince Merrow, when he became available again, they went out and fired Yenzer like 2 months after they had signed him to an extension and brought Wolford back to try and bring some of that physicality. There's definitely options there. They've got two super seniors coming back who came back for the extra year, and Eli Cox and Marcus Cox, the left tackle in the center. That's a great place to start. They got a bunch of guys who have played games at guard, whether they're SEC caliber, I think still up for debate. They went out and added Gerald Mincy and Jalen Farmer from the transfer portal from Tennessee and Florida, respectively. So some other SEC-level talent in there. There's some questions, but I do think that the floor is much higher for that group than it has been in 3 or 4 years. Whether the ceiling is as high as it was in 2021 when they had two draft picks on the line, or, you know, 2018 when they had an All-American guard and, you know, All-SEC left tackle, All-SEC center. I don't know, but it certainly can be a strength if things develop the way they want to over the next few months.
Defensively, I just kind of trust Mark Stoops, right? I feel like they'll put out a good unit, but does this have is there a defensive player on this team that you look at and you say, okay, he's potentially an All-SEC guy, potentially an NFL guy?
Yeah, Deion Walker, the defensive tackle. I mean, he's huge. He's like 6'6", 340 at this point. And we just talked to his defensive line coach this morning. They want him to get around to 325. But he's the guy when NFL scouts walk in the building for 2 years now have been waiting for him to be eligible. I mean, there's a scenario where if he, you know, puts the work in the weight room and takes that jump now year three in the program this year, where we're talking about him as a first round pick, you know, this time of year from now, getting ready for the draft. That's absolutely on the table. He's got to go in and do that work, but it all starts with him up front. I mean, he's not always going to put the huge stats up there because so much of his job is to take up space and blockers and occupy, but he's also certainly capable of winning those one-on-one battles and making plays in the backfield on his own. So he's the star of this defense. They've got a lot of experience around him. J.J. Weaver, the outside linebacker, who, you know, we thought was maybe poised for a breakout finally last year, didn't have the season he wanted, finished strong, and then elected to come back for the extra COVID season. So maybe this is the year he finally puts it together. Maxwell Hairston, the corner, tied for the SEC lead in interceptions last year in his first year as a starter. He can take another step forward. They went out and signed Jamin Dumas Johnson, the transfer from Georgia, who was an All-American on the national championship team 2 years ago at inside linebacker. So there's a lot of options on that defense. They need to have a better season, though. I mean, it was not quite as strong as it had been last season from the 2 or 3 years before that. So there's pressure on that group, too. But there's lots of experience and lots of talent on that side.
Whenever we've talked in the past, I've always said that the Mississippi State-Kentucky game is a swing game for both teams. The winner of that game is going to have no problem going to a bowl game. The loser of that game is going to have some issues. Doesn't exist for either team anymore. What is the new swing game in 2024? What is the game that's going to tell you enough about Kentucky's season this upcoming year?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like that South Carolina game is probably, you know, taken over that spot. And in some ways it was in that same conversation even when Mississippi State was on the schedule in terms of their East standing. But now I think that's a game if the schedule's difficult. I mean, they have to play at Texas. They obviously still have Georgia and Tennessee and Florida and all of those traditional SEC East powers on the schedule. They've got Auburn and Ole Miss this year now with going away from divisions. They have to take care of business in those games against Vanderbilt, against South Carolina. They've won three in a row against Florida. You need to keep that streak alive if you want to have a chance to, you know, be in that 12-team playoff conversation, certainly. But even if you just want to make sure you're going to a bowl game, those are games that, you know, you lose those two games and suddenly you're worried about not getting to six wins. And so that South Carolina game, it feels like, is the one now. And it seems they're probably going to be Kentucky's permanent opponent, whether it's a 8-game schedule in the future or go to 9-game. They're going to stay on it for Kentucky. So that one is shaping up certainly as the one that's going to tell us a lot about Kentucky's seasons, I think, this year and many years in the future.
Well, John, I guess I'll see you at Media Days, but it's going to be weird not talking to you this fall. Have a great year, man, and enjoy yourself, and I'll talk to you again very soon. Have a good one, man.
You too. I'm sure I'll be back in Starkville eventually.
Yeah, and when you come, please don't mention Chelsea. I would appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll try our best.
All right.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.